Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. We are glad that you are here this morning for worship, and your bulletin is full of announcements and calendars giving you more opportunities to learn about our worship and mission, education, and fellowship opportunities here at GPC. If you have any questions about any of those, don't hesitate to ask someone around you, or there will be an elder standing at the communion table following worship this morning. We have quite a few announcements. First, about worship this morning, we are celebrating the Sacrament of Communion, which is open to all. You will find the liturgy printed in your bulletin, so you will find it there. I know we've had it in the green book in the past, but it's in your bulletin this morning. A reminder, if you ordered flowers through the Guatemala group, you can pick them up on Tuesday after 8 a.m. If you have any questions, see the man with the candy back by the sound booth. Also, confirmation class, don't forget we are meeting today, 12:15 until 5:30. Lunch will be provided, so we will see you there. Got a few other announcements this morning. Here we go.
Good morning. I'd like you to do me a favor. Look around the church and see all the young children sitting in the pews. They are our most precious asset, our blessing, our future leaders. Now look around at the youth in the church, our junior high and senior high boys and girls. They are serving on committees, teaching Sunday school, volunteering to help out at church functions, and actively involved in missions. Very impressive. Now, look at all the adults in this church congregation who were nurtured here at Gates Presbyterian Church as young children and now into their adult years. They still are actively involved. And it all began in those early years when they attended Sunday school, where they learned about their faith and their part in their church family. Yes, our Sunday school program is very important, because we, as a church family, we value our children, and we value the promise that we made at their baptism, that we would nurture them and that we would help them on their faith journey. So now is your opportunity to put action to your words. The Young Children's Committee needs Sunday school teachers for the fall in order to keep this program alive. And I know that seems like a far time away, but once summer vacation starts, it's hard to get a hold of people. We need 7 teachers for the fall. So you may say, I don't want to miss Sunday service, and I don't blame you. Check, we took care of that. We have 2 teachers for each class, so out of the 15 weeks, you're only committing to 7 or 8 Sundays. You may say, I'm not a teacher. Check, we took care of that too. We have a Sunday school curriculum that tells you exactly what to teach. If you're still not comfortable, you may shadow the teachers that are teaching now, or Carol Ann and the Young Children's Committee would be more than willing to help you in any way possible. So there's really only 2 requirements. You need to love the children that we are so richly blessed with here at Gates Presbyterian Church, and you need to love your faith and be willing to share it with our children. If your heart is open, God will do the rest. So please prayerfully consider being a Sunday school teacher in the fall. And if you feel that you are called to help in this way, you can see me after service. I'll be at the communion table, or you can call the church office. I promise you that you will get more out of it than what you put into it, because our children have a way of teaching you. Thank you.
Thank you. Sherry, all you?
If Sherry's up here, it must be yard sale time. It's yard sale time. There's a calendar on the kiosk. There are sign-up sheets for the pre-sale efforts on the kiosk. We really need a lot of help, so please consider signing up. Please don't think that there's a lot of people here and you don't need to worry about it, because everybody thinks there's a lot of people here and you don't need to worry about it. So if you'd sign up for even a 2-hour shift, we'd really appreciate it. First drop-off of donations is Sunday the 20th after worship. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Here.
Today is our last second hour program for the 2011-2012 season. Today, Tom Ward will be leading a discussion of Frank Lloyd Wright and how his spirituality and nature influenced his work. So please join us. Here.
Good morning. I'll try to make this quick. First, again this year, we're having a Red Wings night out. It is July 6th. It's a Friday night. We'll be beginning to sell tickets and make reservations down in Fellowship Hall every Sunday after worship. Second, a reminder to everyone, this Saturday is our spring cleanup here at the church. We start at 8:30. There is a lot of things to do, so there's not one person in here that is unable to do at least one thing there. So we'd love to have you. Many hands made light work. Thanks.
Thank you. And if you will indulge me for just a moment for an announcement. Last night, I had the opportunity to attend and offer the blessing at the Rally for Weber event and was overwhelmed by the honor that I have to serve with this church family. What happened to Brian and the Weber family with his accident last summer was devastating, and this church has remained unwavering in our commitment to provide prayers and meals, cards, financial gifts, and support to Brian and the Webers. When the Rally for Weber committee gathered last fall to find ways to continue this support, who could have ever imagined the ways folks from this church and the Gates Chi-Li community would step up and answer God's call? I want to personally thank Chuck Goody Kuntz and Barb Snaith for their leadership in co-chairing the event last night. To all the committee members who put in tireless hours gathering donations and selling tickets and putting together the event. To Roy, our choir director, and Carolyn Thornton for putting their time and energy into performing last night. And to all of you who bought tickets and bracelets, donated items, and rallied around Brian Weber and his family. Thank you for demonstrating the ways that we are the body of Christ in this world. And I want to invite Chuck and Barb forward for just a quick update on how we did last night.
I'm still waiting for ticket 188 to be called.
On behalf of the Rally for Weber Dinner Committee, we want to thank all that attended, 300-plus people, all the donated items and donations of money, and all the people that donated their time last night. Without you, we couldn't have done what we did.
We'd also like to thank GPC for loaning us tables. We used all the ones that Brooke Lee had available. Melissa, for her participation. And just to tell you that pending the final accounting stuff, we raised over $20,000 for the family. Thank you all for your contribution to that. And I have one other announcement, Mustard Seed Committee, 1215 Adult Lounge. I forgot to tell you about that.
That's all right. Just sneak it in. Let us worship God together.
Thank you. Please stand if you're able and join me in the call to worship. Come and sit with me. We shall study the word. Together we shall read and understand. Come and kneel with me. We shall break the bread. Together we shall eat and be satisfied. Come and walk with me. We shall part the waters. Together we shall risk and behold. We shall be changed.
Confession printed in your bulletin. We use lots of words, gracious God, but do little to turn them into deeds, instead of being our heart and soul. We choose sides and form groups of folks just like us. Blessed with great grace, we have trouble sharing it with those who need it the most. Forgive us, God of love. Forgive us as we step out of our shadows into your light. Restore us as we reveal our brokenness. Hear us as we proclaim Jesus Christ as our Lord and our God. We offer to God our silent prayers of confession. This is the good news. We have declared God leads us out of the shadows to walk in the light of Christ. This is the word we have heard. Our faithful God forgives our sins and raises us to new life. Thanks be to God. Amen. At this time, the children are invited forward. Good morning. Oh, I love your pony. She is dressed up for church. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. You can sit wherever you want. Good morning. Here, I'll scooch back. But there's just a lot of you this morning. So, that first hymn that we sang this morning, did you look on the very top line to see where that hymn came from? You didn't. Well, see, now this is something you can do when you read hymns. Take a look. Often it tells us what country or continent it came from. And that opening hymn this morning was from the country of Ghana, which is in Africa. Do you guys know where Africa is? No, some of you do. It's a long ways away, and it looks like this. You ever see it on a map or on a globe? Our Bible story this morning that we are going to be reading is all about a man from Africa. And he and his friend Philip, they learn together all about what it means to live God's word. And Presbyterians have been living God's word in Africa for a really, really, really long time now. And one of the ways that we continue our support of all the people in Africa is by praying for them. And there's this really cool book, and I bet it's in the church library, that's called the Presbyterian Mission Yearbook. And it has a page for every day and gives us different people to pray for, including those Presbyterians who have gone to Africa to share God's love. So you know what we're going to do this morning? We're going to pray for them. Would you pray with me? Dear God, thank you for everyone who shares your love. We pray for those sharing your love in Africa. Amen. Amen. Have fun in Sunday school.
The first reading of the word comes from the book of Psalms, chapter 22, verses 25 through 31. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will pay before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. To him, indeed, shall all who sleep in the earth bow down. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, and I shall live for him. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord.
and proclaim his deliverance to a people yet unborn, saying that he has done it.
Second scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Acts. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up, go toward the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official from the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning home seated in his chariot. He was reading from the prophet Isaiah. When the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe this generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, They came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. And the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus. As he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. As I was looking over the bulletin this week, I noticed the title of the choir anthem, and I sent this quick email over to Roy to let him know that I wasn't preaching the gospel text about John's passage of the vines and the branches. Well, after a few emails back and forth, it occurred to me, there probably isn't a whole lot of music out there focusing on Ethiopian eunuchs. In fact, it's really pretty sad that I struggled to find an opening hymn that was even in the geographic proximity to Ethiopia, like from the continent of Africa. But maybe, just maybe, I'm holding out hope that that new Presbyterian hymnal coming out next year will do better, though I doubt Ethiopian eunuchs will make the cut. After all, what do we understand about Ethiopian eunuchs? It seems like a strange story for the author of Luke Acts to tell and for us to hear on this fifth Sunday of Easter. Because liturgically, we've been hanging out at the empty tomb for the past 5 weeks, and now we've fast-forwarded, skipping over Pentecost, which we won't celebrate until the end of this month, to all these stories in the book of Acts that we don't often read about in worship concerning those first century Jews and how they demonstrated and lived the good news revealed at Easter. Keep in mind that we're still a few hundred years away from when followers of Jesus are referred to as Christians. These stories we hear about are still about Jews who worship faithfully at the temple, adhere to Jewish law, and also believe that Jesus was the Messiah. Despite the initial popularity of the movement at Pentecost, those Jews who are preaching and teaching and living according to the ways of Jesus are now being dragged out of their homes, persecuted, and even executed, like Stephen, for believing that Jesus lived, died, and was resurrected as the Son of God. So where we are in the story this morning, this movement has gone underground, outside of Jerusalem, where the Pentecost moment happened. And here is this guy that we don't know that much about by the name of Philip. And Philip is sent out to Samaria. Samaria is a place where no self-respecting Jew would be caught dead in those days. And he does this early movement of Jesus' followers very proud by gaining a lot of popularity with the miracles he performs and the great sermons he preaches and the ways that he cares for the poor and the sick and the dying. I like how Anna Carter Florence compares Philip to a first century Billy Graham. Now imagine this very popular preacher being humbled as he finds out his next preaching assignment is this wilderness road out in the middle of nowhere. So Philip's got to be feeling a little put out, definitely disappointed, as he travels along this lonely desert road, trying to figure out why God would have possibly called him here and what he was going to do in no man's land. A little bit too much of a coincidence to be called a coincidence that this chariot just happened to drive up. I like to call those God moments. Because it's also a lot bit ridiculous to imagine Philip running alongside this chariot, breathlessly yelling out, "Hey, do you understand what you're reading?" Just picture it. Of course, the Ethiopian eunuch does not understand what he is reading. The Ethiopian eunuch is on one hand living in a world where his body has been sacrificed to gain privilege and wealth and education and status that he is afforded by serving in the queen's court, and in this other world where he is hungry to be in relationship with a God whose people won't go anywhere near him. Imagine for yourselves coming to church one Sunday morning, only to discover the people standing outside the doors. You know, those folks who normally open your car door, help you walk in, open the doors, greet your hand. Imagine those people standing there. Nope, not today. And you standing, waiting. Maybe you sit on the bench outside. You're just waiting to hear a word from God. And as people find their ways out after worship, you ask, "So how was that anthem today? What hymns did we sing? One of my favorites? What did the preacher preach about? Did she talk about suffering or the poor or violence? How about doubt? Did she talk about that? Does she have any word from God that will connect to where I am in my everyday life today?" It might be your experience where you walked into a church and you looked around at those dressed in their Sunday finest and you think, "Well, they belong here, but not me. You know, I don't have a great family like those folks do in that pew over there. And, you know, I don't even really have anyone to love. I haven't for years. I'm not a eunuch, but I might as well be. How can I fit in here? I'm not even sure I believe in all the things that this church believes in. I'm positive I cannot make my life good enough to fit in. I've made too many mistakes, hurt too many people. If only they knew the truth about me, they'd toss me right out." It might even be your experience to be part of a church that says it follows the teachings of Jesus, and yet at every turn you have been excluded because you asked questions when strict doctrinal adherence was just assumed. You were denied communion because you weren't a member of that church or that denomination. Maybe you were looked down for not having the right clothes on, or you were hurt by gossip, backbiting, hypocritical judgments that seemed anything but a demonstration of God's love. Trust me on this. A good majority of you right now are saying amen. the Ethiopian eunuch, who, when so badly wanted to worship in Jerusalem, was refused entrance to the temple, denied fellowship for being ritually unclean, and outright rejected by the community called to demonstrate God's grace. This man wants to know how. How is he supposed to understand what he is reading? Unless someone guides me. He doesn't understand what he is reading because the actions of the faith community have demonstrated something completely different than the scripture passage in Isaiah that he is reading. Notice the scripture passage that he is reading. He does not quote Deuteronomy 23, verse 1, which I'm sure was quoted to him over and over and over again at the temple walls. No one whose testicles are crushed or whose penis is cut off shall be admitted to the assembly of the Lord. There's one for you to memorize. Deuteronomy 23, verse 1. Write it down. Impress your friends who quote scripture. It's a good one. The Holy Spirit guides him to the words of the prophet in Isaiah, which he identified with and wondered, could there be room in the household of God for a man like him? And how can he know unless he can read the cold ink on the page in the warm welcome of God's embrace that Jesus revealed and taught in community? Philip is quick to expand on these teachings and stories. Just as Philip asked the man, "Do you understand what you are reading?" I believe the man echoes back that question. He phrases it in a different way, but it's the same question to Philip when he asks, "What is to prevent me from being baptized?" In my mind, it's the same exact question. Because the man did know what he was reading. He understood so well everything that Philip was teaching him about the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. He understood that even though the church rejected him, tradition despised him, and his political and economic position came at an agonizing cost, he knew God loved him. So the man asks Philip if he understands what he is saying. These stories of Jesus and the wideness of God's mercy, like we sang about. Does Philip understand what he is saying? Because the logical answer to the question posed by the Ethiopian eunuch would mirror his experiences thus far, because everything prevents him from being baptized. He's a foreigner, a mutilated outcast who no one should even go near. And thank God for the Philips of the church who don't pause and say, I should check this by the church committee. So just hold on a second. Thank God for the Phillips of the church who don't favor institutional rigidity over celebrating someone's powerful desire to be included in God's plan for salvation. And this question remains for us today. Do we
understand what we are reading in the good news of Easter? Do we understand that our faith is more than just words on the page? Doctrinal creeds and confessions we ascribe to, institutional traditions we grip so tightly for comfort and security. Do we understand the wideness of God's grace that stretches beyond the confines of death so that we might all live a new life in Christ? Do we understand that whoever we are, however we feel, whatever reasons we are here, whatever brokenness or hurts we bear, we are welcome to the water and to this table to touch, taste, see for ourselves? We are called to this community to guide one another, welcome one another, and demonstrate for the world that God's love is wide enough for us all. Thanks be to God. the one to whom we turn to, has invited us to this table. Whoever you are and however you feel, whatever reasons you are here, come to this feast. Whatever your condition, whatever your brokenness and the hurts that you bear, know that our host is the one who teaches, the one who heals, and the one who welcomes. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise, O God. It is right, a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Creator of heaven and earth. In ancient days, you created us in your image, inviting us to live as your people upon this earth. When we fell short and acted out of fear and doubt, you held our hand and walked with us out of the garden and into every corner of the earth. You continue to extend the hand of your steadfast love, abiding with us always, even when we turn away. In the words of the prophets, you challenged us to live in love and righteousness. But as we shrunk from your challenge, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, as love for a love-starved world. From the earliest days of creation to the most recent of days, you offer to abide in us even as we abide in your love. And so, with your people on earth and the company of heaven, we praise your name and join together their unending hymn, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your constant love. Through Christ's patient love and unfailing grace, we are once again invited into your abiding love and rescued from the fears and sins that would separate us from your nurturing presence. With Christ's love in our lives, we are invited to live in your love and to reveal your love to the world, even as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. With joy and gratitude, we break this bread of life and remember the many times when Jesus' love was shared in the breaking of bread. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, all of us gathered here, that we may be the branches of Christ, our true vine. Pour out your Holy Spirit on these gifts of bread and wine that we may be filled with your abiding love. Strengthen us in the power of your Holy Spirit that we may be one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at the heavenly banquet. Through Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God. Now, forever. Amen. And we give Jesus thanks, having faith in those gathered. He gathered his friends around a very similar table. And on the night before he gave himself up to the authorities for his death, and so that we might remember and know how God's bread gives strength, he took the common bread, and he made it holy as he takes us, common people, and he makes each of us holy. To remember, he asks us to repeat this act over and over again by saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Take, eat. Do this in remembrance of me." And we cannot live by bread alone. So he took the cup as he did the bread, and he poured it. so we might remember the sight and the sound. And he shared it among us, saying, "This is faith made new, faith you wouldn't even know how to ask for, faith that will surprise you, faith that will sustain you. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." Friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us celebrate together. is the body of Christ, the bread of heaven. Each and every one of us taste and see the goodness of God.
Thank you.
drink this cup and give thanks for the love and forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Taste and see the mercy that is wide enough for all of us.
Gracious God, we have been reminded of Jesus' abiding love for us as we have shared this meal together, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, we have received his life in us. May we make our thanks visible by serving you and one another. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Friends, as we are filled with this holy meal, we gather those prayers of joy and those prayers of concerns that we have together in community. As the ushers come around with the microphones, raise your hands so they can see them and share those prayers.
Good morning, Chuck Goodykins. It has been a busy weekend for us as Eric graduated from Penn State on Friday evening, and we're very proud of him.
Prayer of joy. Congratulations, Eric. One over here. Did I see one over here? There we go. Yeah.
Gary Dykes. microphone's giving some issues. Carrie's uncle passed away last Sunday evening peacefully. And just continue prayers for the family in this transition. And thank you to those that attended services and stuff. It was very nice. Thank you.
Prayers for those who didn't hear, prayers for Carrie's uncle who passed away this week and for her family.
Dick Stewart, we ask you to pray for our son, John. He's in Afghanistan, hopefully for only a couple more weeks. But he's struggling with some health issues. Basically been working 16-hour days, 7 days a week. And he's just kind of worn out. And just pray for John.
Prayers.
Linda Sidori for the children in Sunday school. On the third and fourth graders, we asked, one of our little friends asked for prayers for our friend Sarah, who has been sick with cancer. And another one requested prayers for her cousins who have a big job to do today. From the fifth grade, we have joys for family birthday celebrations this week. Sixth graders, we have joys. Shannon's mom got a new job. Joy that no one got hurt in a thunderstorm. And joy for an upcoming class trip.
Amen. Any other prayers? We'll keep tuning. Thankfully, even if we can't hear one another, God can still hear us, no matter how the microphones aren't working. Any other prayers? All right, thank you. Almighty God, we are grateful that you can hear us, even if our microphones aren't working. You hear our prayers, the ones that are in our hearts, the ones that we don't dare speak out loud, because it is your love that is beyond any of our understanding. It is your mercy that is beyond any of our comprehension. And we lift up our hearts to you in prayer. Though we were captives of our sinful and exclusionary ways, your love has released us. You have freed us to experience divine love in our own lives and reveal it in this world. How can we express thanksgiving except to praise your name and to allow your love to be seen in us? Grant to us a determined faith and a fervent love, that we might be reflections of your divine grace. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers. It is these prayers and all that have been expressed that we offer to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done
on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. From our thanksgiving, we now offer our tithes and our offerings to God.
from this place with the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the courage of the Holy Spirit challenging us on to the wideness of God's mercies now and always. Alleluia. Amen.
Thank you. stashes.
They have stashes?
Yeah, they have stashes.
Thank you.
good day.